Fillmore Street. This is BillPod.com. The Week in Georgia in English, coming to you from San Francisco's Lower Haight. Today is Thursday, the 29th of September, 2016. On this date in 1789, the first U.S. Congress adjourned with John Adams as President of the Senate. 1923, the British Mandate of Palestine goes into effect, as does the French Mandate for Syria and Lebanon. 1938, Nazi Germany reaches the Munich Agreement with the UK, France, and Italy, which accepts German control over the Sudetenland and Czechoslovakia. Czechoslovakia was not invited to the talks. 1941, the massacre of Baba Yar near Kiev begins. More than 33,000 Jews were killed over 2 days by German soldiers and, lest we forget, their Soviet collaborators. 1972, Japan establishes diplomatic relations with the People's Republic of China for the first time, as well as, of course, breaks off relations with Taiwan. 1991, the Haitian military overthrows the government of Michel-François Aristide. Widely believed that the CIA had a hand in the coup. 2008, the Dow Jones Industrial Average falls 777 points, the largest single-day loss in its history, came shortly after the Lehman Brothers and Washington Mutual bankruptcies. Birthdays are Miguel de Cervantes, Laszlo Biro, he invented the ballpoint pen, Gene Autry, Jerry Lee Lewis, Silvio Berlusconi, and Lech Walesa. I'm your host, Mark Mellon. The podcast is written by Joe Larson, edited by Ari Swiecka. If you'd like to comment on the forum or ask a question, go to tabilpod.com or send us an email at tabilpod@gmail.com. Activists from the national movement-affiliated group Free Zone quit the organization after they accused Misha and other national movement leaders of plotting to stoke public unrest during and after the elections. The 11 activists who are led by Beso Kaladze said they met with Misha in Kiev last week to discuss the issue. They were questioned by the State Security Service about it shortly upon returning to Georgia. National Movement says the activists made the claims under pressure from security officials and that it's all an attempt to discredit the party before the elections. Shortly after that, another scandal popped up. Someone leaked an audio recording online that depicts Misha and several other UNM officials, including the Mokhaladi Kavshedi, Marshmallow Gigi Tzedatelli, talking about provoking unrest during and after the elections. In the recording, Misha floats the idea of forming a coalition with other parties, to which Tzedatelli replies, quote, "Our main task is to hold the election in a revolutionary environment, I mean public agitation," end quote, and suggests forming a team to organize protests on Rustavelli Avenue. Misha then agrees and says the national movement needs to create a revolutionary scenario. The State Security Service has launched an investigation into whether the recording is evidence of a conspiracy to overthrow the government. Five of those allegedly present in the recording, Akaki Minashvili, Nugzar Tsiklauri, Petr Tsiskarashvili, Gigi Tzedatelli, and Irma Nadarashvili, were called in for questioning. None of them have come in, and reportedly they don't plan to go. The national movement denies planning any destabilization or revolutionary scenario, and Misha accused Bidzina of having someone manipulate the recording. The political party New Political Center Girchi, or the Pinecones, left State for the People election bloc on Tuesday. Party spokesman said the coalition has serious problems with its management and finances. Shortly after the announcement, opera singer and State for the People leader Paata Burchiladze went on Rustaviori and said that Girchi did not, in fact, leave the election bloc. Rather, he sacked them after he found out they were getting financial backing from Bidzina. Because State for the People is an independent party, they can't have any links to Otsneba or the national movement. Also, Burchiladze has a long-standing personal feud with Bidzina. Pinecone leader Zura Japaridze responded that Burchiladze's allegations are fairy tales. He also said the opera singer threatened to kick him out of the block if they didn't provide him with money, according to Japaridze. Burchiladze wanted the money for personal purposes and not for the party. Girchi also said that it won't be participating at all in the elections. Before leaving the block, it had three members in the top 12 on its party list. It also represented the bloc on 16 majoritarian districts, which means State for the People will no longer have any candidates in those districts. Other election news. Misha gave a video address to a campaign rally in Zugdidi, where he said the national movement is polling well throughout the country and that its victory on the 8th of October is inevitable. Party leader Giga Bokeria also said the party promises not to prosecute Bidzina and his associates after the national movement wins in October. He hopes they'll remain in the country and serve as the opposition. Otsneba announced that they aren't planning a final campaign rally before the elections. The prime minister told Rustavioti that the party will be too busy governing the country, and that holding a major rally would disrupt transportation for Tbilisi residents. National Movement is planning a big rally for the 5th of October and said that Otsneba is in fact planning one for that day, but doesn't want to announce it yet. The National Movement also said they're having problems booking marshutkas to get their supporters from the regions to Tbilisi, and it's because Otsneba has gobbled them all up first. Election observers with the Organization for Security Cooperation in Europe, OSCE, released their interim report on campaign activities. It said the overall campaign tone was confrontational, particularly between Otsneba and the National Movement. They mentioned a number of kerfuffles between party activists and damage done to party property. They also said the country's recent poor economic performance and public disillusionment with the political elite are souring the electoral atmosphere. Former Interior Minister Vano Medabashvili was found guilty, as were former officials at Ekle Kodua and Gia Siradze, for abuse of power in connection with the beating of MP Valeri Gelashvili back in 2005. Last week, Tbilisi City Court found Medabashvili guilty of ordering the beating and Kodua and Siradze guilty of carrying it out. Misha has also been charged with abuse of power in the same case. Gelashvili is now an MP with Otsneba. Back then, he was a Republican. He had drawn attention to himself in 2005 by criticizing the National Movement and accusing Misha of appropriating his house without compensation, which in fact happened. He also took some personal shots against Misha, connected to Sandra. Soon after making those claims in an interview with Resonanci, he was beaten in the street by a number of men wearing black masks. According to the medical reports, he had brain trauma, broken bones, and other injuries. An investigation wasn't launched until 2012, after Otsneba came to power. Medabashvili's lawyer said he'll appeal the ruling and that his client is a political prisoner. Gelashvili was beaten very, very badly. Who did it, I don't know, but he had certainly been a very loud critic of Misha, and in an unusually insulting and aggressive way. Following up on the Gyalur Kipanidze case, former Deputy Interior Minister and current police chief of Ukraine's Odessa region under Misha was sentenced to pretrial detention in absentia by Georgian courts. Last week, he was charged for abuse of power for his role in the crackdown against protesters in May 2011. He's currently in Odessa, but his lawyer said he plans to return to Georgia on the 15th of October. A pretrial court session is scheduled for the 12th of November. Members of the student activist group Auditorium 115 resumed protests at Tbilisi State University after former Deputy Education Minister Gia Sharvashidze was elected the school's new rector. The students think the election was rigged and that the school's academic council was pressured by the government, as usual. So they interrupted a welcoming ceremony for new students on Monday. After the ceremony, they gave Sharvashidze a list of demands that include greater university autonomy, reform of the student council system, and better living conditions at the school's dormitory. Sharvashidze complained that many of the protesters aren't even students and that he is suspicious that they're working with one of the political parties. Protests and sit-ins disrupted classes earlier this year because of the students' anger with candidates for university chancellor. The protests only stopped when Rector Lado Papava resigned in April. In travel to and from Georgia, Pope Francis is arriving in Georgia on Friday. It's his first visit to the country. He'll be here till Monday, meeting with the President and Patriarch Ilya II, as well as members of the Georgian Chaldean Catholic community. He'll give Mass at Meskhi Stadium on Saturday. Francis and Ilya won't pray together when the Pope visits, though. That's reported by the Catholic news site La Stampa. Francis will get an honored welcome, but because of doctrinal differences, Ilya isn't willing to pray with him. This was expected by the Vatican. Ilya did pray with Catholicos Gadagin II of Armenia back in 2011, illustrating how much more progressive the Armenian church is than Georgia's. Francis will head to Baku next. United European Football Association, or UEFA, President Alexander Čeferin arrives in Tbilisi on Wednesday. He just became president this month, and at a meeting they'll discuss the under-19 European Football Championship that will take place in Georgia next year. Two peacekeeping battalions left for Afghanistan on Monday. The soldiers will serve alongside NATO troops at the Resolute Support Mission, a peacekeeping operation that started in 2015. Georgia currently has 885 troops in Resolute Support. 27th of September marked 23 years since the fall of Suchumi, when Georgian troops were forced out of the city, followed by hundreds of thousands of refugees who fled into the territory controlled by Tbilisi. Prime Minister spoke at a commemoration ceremony at Heroes Square. He said that both sides were losers in the war and that peace and conciliation are the only path forward towards reunification. A group of about 150 extreme nationalists led by the Georgian Power Organization demonstrated along Agmashenebeli Avenue on Tuesday night. The demonstration started near Rustaveli Metro Station and was dedicated to the anniversary of the fall of Suchumi. The group of mostly young men, which included members of alleged neo-Nazi groups, attacked several Turkish cafes and tore the hijab off at least one Muslim woman. Police arrested 11 people for hooliganism after damage was done to several businesses in the area. Be interesting to see if prosecution is pursued actively in this. The Prime Minister held a meeting this week with business leaders as well as members of the European Union permanent delegation to Georgia to discuss the country's economic reforms in line with the Deep and Comprehensive Free Trade Agreement, or DCFTA, signed with the EU in 2014. Meeting's goals were to get the private sector more involved in the reform planning and implementation processes. They also talked about policies to support small and medium-sized enterprises. Utsneba has hired a U.S.-based Impact Management Group, or IMG, to handle its lobbying in the U.S. They signed a four-month contract running from the 4th of August to the 30th of November, and Utsneba will pay $320,000. IMG will help the party's representatives arrange and prepare for meetings with important politicians and agencies in the U.S., as well as advise Utsneba on its communication strategy and handling logistics when party members visit the U.S. Bidzina met with a group of business leaders on the 24th of September. He asked them to do more to inform the public about economic progress in the country. Since 2012, he said the economy is getting stronger, but that 4 years isn't long enough for a major breakthrough. Members of the public are getting impatient, so business leaders should remind them how things are getting better, even if it isn't that obvious. At a separate event, Bidzina offered to finance an upscale hotel and botanical garden on the Abkhaz side of the administrative boundary line. He said that it would be modeled on the one recently opened in Ganmuhuri in Samagrelo, which was financed by the Kartu Foundation and the Georgian Co-Investment Fund. He said the Abkhaz authorities have been notified but have not responded yet. Lawmakers in Lithuania passed a resolution urging the Council of the European Union and European Parliament to work as quickly as possible to approve visa-free travel for Georgians coming to the EU. The resolution said that Georgia has fulfilled its obligations and that granting visa-free travel is important for building trust in the EU among Georgian citizens. Delegation from Nuaru attended South Ossetia's independence celebration. Nuaru is the only country in the Pacific that still recognizes South Ossetia and are part of a club that includes only Russia, Venezuela, and Nicaragua. The others, like Vanuatu in the Pacific, have pulled out of the recognition bandwagon. That was done under a Vanuatu prime minister that had studied in Moscow, by the way. Dutch investigation into the shooting down of Malaysia Airlines Flight 17 over Ukraine confirmed suspicions that the plane was hit with a missile system that Russia supplied to the Ukrainian separatists. The missile system was brought over the border into Ukraine and immediately returned to Russia after shooting down the plane. The investigation also addressed efforts made by Russia to cover up its responsibility for the tragedy, which killed 298 people aboard the plane. Russian border guards detained two Georgian citizens near the administrative boundary line with Abkhazia. They're being held in Gali. The authorities in Suchumi say the two men crossed the border illegally and that one of the men was holding 60 grams of marijuana. All beauty salons in Georgia have to register with the public registry by the 1st of October in order to be examined by the Ministry of Health. It's part of the government's program to eliminate hepatitis C. Radio Marnouli is now online. The community radio program serves listeners in the mostly ethnic Azerbaijani town of Marnouli in southern Georgia. And according to Democracy and Freedom Watch, it's the only local media outlet that is critical of the local government. The project has been in the works since 2006, but local activists couldn't get a license from the National Communications Commission until now. Police confiscated about 100 illegal slot machines in locations around Georgia. The machines are hand-rigged to allow customers to play a simple gambling game for 20 tetri per turn. The investigators from the finance ministry are looking into who is operating the machines and where the money trail leads. Liberty Bank branch in Goldani was robbed on Thursday. A police officer was injured. The amount stolen has not been reported yet. Tomas Mateshvili, trustee of a village in eastern Georgia, resigned after he admitted to hitting a journalist in the face. He said he hit the journalist because he disagreed with him filming road work that was being done in the pouring rain. The journalist said Mateshvili also asked him if he was being paid by the national movement. Georgia's hospital system has the capability to perform bone marrow transplants for the first time. A new bone marrow transplant unit opened at Tbilisi's High Technology Medical Center. Israeli experts are helping train Georgian doctors on how to use the equipment and perform the procedures. Surgeons from both countries will perform surgeries together. Education Minister Alexander Djedjelava is promoting the benefits of e-books. He thinks they'll gradually replace paper textbooks in schools, which he says are often too heavy and can cause kids to develop back problems. He hopes e-books will be introduced into Georgian schools in 2017. A landslide blocked roads to several villages in Kobuleti. The landslides were caused by heavy rains, according to the local government. Cleanup efforts are moving forward. No one has been evacuated. The Impact Hub, a co-working space for social entrepreneurs that is located in Fabrika, which is also the home of DiveX, has become an official member of the Impact Hub International Network, which is a pretty substantial network. Those of you looking for a co-working space, go check it out. 22nd of September was World Car Free Day, when drivers were asked to leave their cars at home and instead travel on foot or by public transport. Numbers on the participation are not available, but Tbilisi traffic was noticeably lighter on the 22nd. Central Bank sold $40 million in an auction on Tuesday. The lari gained slightly after the sale, from 2.334 per dollar to 2.327 per dollar. It's the third currency intervention in September and the 20th this year. Still, foreign currency reserves are higher than they were a year ago. In a statement announcing the sale, Central Bank said that the lari isn't being affected by external shocks anymore. Any fluctuation in the exchange rate are caused by purely temporary factors. Ministry of Economy announced the approval of the final version of an investment agreement with the Anaklia Development Consortium for the Anaklia Deepwater Black Sea Port Project. The $2.5 billion project will build a port that can process 100 million tons of cargo annually by 2025, and it will be able to serve the largest ships currently operating in the Black Sea. Prime Minister announced that the Partnership Fund will partner with the Canadian Gazelle Finance Fund in consortium to finance small and medium-sized enterprise in Georgia. The Gazelle Finance Fund will put up initial capital of $27.5 million. The Partnership Fund is also hammering out agreements on partnership with the American McClellan Foundation and French investor Dominique Romano, who are pledging to invest $10 million each in Georgia's economy. World Economic Forum's Global Competitiveness Report for 2016-17 ranked Georgia 59th in the world, ahead of every other post-Soviet country except Latvia, Lithuania, and Estonia. The rankings consider things like efficiency, innovation, and factors of production. Heidelberg Cement announced it's going to invest $100 million to upgrade its existing facilities in Georgia. They're already starting to renovate and expand their cement plant in Kaspi this week. Heidelberg has been in Georgia since 2006 and also has facilities in Rustavi and Poti. The Georgian facilities are able to produce more than 2 million tons of cement per year. The Golden Tulip Borjomi has opened in the former Blue Palace Firuza building, one of Borjomi's architectural treasures. The 16-room hotel is owned by the Louvre Hotel Group and features a restaurant, swimming pool, and spa. The building was built in 1892 by a Persian consul. The five-star Euphoria Hotel opened in Batumi. The $90 million, 415-room hotel is located on the new Batumi Boulevard near Batumi University. The hotel is part of the Metro City Complex project that is being funded by Metro Holding, a company on the Istanbul Stock Exchange. News about new flights launching to and from Georgia. The budget airline Wizz Air announced seven new flights launching from Kutaisi. Travelers from Kutaisi will now be able to go to directly to Berlin, Dortmund, Memmingen, which is near Munich, Larnaca in Cyprus, Milan, Sofia, Bulgaria, and Thessaloniki in Greece. They're all available now. This brings the number of destinations available from Kutaisi to 11. Launching the new routes will require the airline to invest an additional $98 million in Kutaisi. China's Southern Airlines announced that it will charter flights between Tbilisi and Beijing via the city of Urumqi in northwest China. The flights will be twice a week. They haven't announced when they'll launch. Georgian Railways is in talks to increase the amount of rail freight that can move between Bulgaria and Iran through Georgia. Bulgaria and Iran want to deepen their trade relations. Georgia-Armenia would be an important overland route. Georgian Railways plans to upgrade its infrastructure, but says it's already able to handle increased freight from Iran. Rusudan Glurjidze's film House of Others, which is being considered for an Oscar for Best Foreign Film, won the Cinema Extraordinaire Prize at the Bergen International Film Festival in Norway. Winners were announced for the Saba Literary Prize, an annual award that goes to the best authors, translators, and critics working with the Georgian language. Contestants don't have to be native to Georgia. This year's winners include Lynn Coffin, an American who won for her translation into English of the Knights of the Panther Skin, Becca Kurkuli, and Zurab Samadashvili, respectively, who won awards for Best Novel of the Year, and Tamar Japaridze, who won for translating The French Lieutenant's Woman from English into Georgian. Several other winners as well. In parliamentary news, Parliament's not meeting until after the elections because everybody's on the campaign trail. Meme this week is a funny gif about the fallout between Pata Burchiladze and the pine cones. It's Rezi Betsalashvili, and he puts Burchiladze's head on Bart Simpson, and the pine cone, or Girchi means pine cone in Georgia, on the head of Abe Simpson. Gyorgy Lomsadze writes in Eurasianet about comments from Bidzina that Turkey wants Georgia to close down its casinos. Georgia's casino industry, which is mostly based in Batumi, produces 66 million lari in tax revenue last year. Lots of that came from Turkish gamblers. There are also plenty of Georgians that want to see the casinos close down as well. Social Science and Caucuses covers public trust in the media. The percentage of people who report having trust in the media has fallen from 50% in 2008 to 24% in 2013. People don't mistrust the media either. They're just a lot more ambivalent about it than they used to be. Foreign Affairs has a piece on Georgia's democratic development and what the parliamentary elections mean for the future, for its future in Western choices. The article is co-written by Dennis Samet, well-known and well-liked around Tbilisi, been around forever. He thinks that Otsneba's victory in 2012 was positive for the country's domestic development and external stability, and that those reforms will last regardless of who wins next month. Tom Duvall writes for Carnegie Europe about the upcoming elections. They will almost certainly be free and fair, something you rarely, if ever, see in the neighboring countries. Also cause for celebration as this election isn't dominated by charismatic figures promising to drag the country back from the abyss. Duvall thinks that there's a lot to feel good about. Melanie Mirzajewski-Wozniak writes in the New Eastern Europe about parliamentary elections. It's Georgia's eighth parliamentary election and one of its most important, not because there's potential for unrest, but because of how orderly and competitive they are. Still, political parties and their members are known to behave badly in public, and women still aren't well represented within the parties. NDI has an infographic on female participation in the parliamentary elections. There are currently only 18 female MPs out of 150 total, and only 17% of majoritarian candidates are women, compared to 37% of party list candidates. Still, three-quarters of Georgians think women in office perform as well or better than men. Photojournalist Mike Goldwater returns to his photos from the fall of Suchumi. They are really heartbreaking. Foreign Minister Mikhail Janalidze writes an op-ed on The Hill. He talks about Georgia's recent progress in political and military spheres and expresses his view that NATO membership is a matter of when, not if. Caucasian Business Week runs the numbers on the new free trade agreement signed with China. More than 95% of Georgia's export products will be tariff-free. Exports to China already make up nearly 10% of Georgia's total, and that should only increase. The wine market has the biggest potential for growth. Andrew North profiles Desertebi Bazaar for Culinary Backstreet. You can find tomatoes in any and all shapes, sizes, and varieties. All are grown in Georgia. The German Institute for International Security Affairs publishes a paper on the unresolved conflicts in the former Soviet Union. One chapter is devoted to Abkhazia, South Ossetia, with a focus on how those conflicts are affected by the ongoing war in Ukraine. Neil McFarquhar for the New York Times writes about Russia's continuing foreign separatists. Last week, the Kremlin hosted a couple of marginal groups from around the world for Dialogue for Nations. Guests included the Texas Nationalist Movement and delegations from Abkhazia, South Ossetia, and elsewhere. Not surprisingly, no secessionists from Russian territory were invited. McFarquhar is a great historian and always worth reading. Check that out. Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty has a photo essay about the Babi Yar massacre. The tragedy is remembered differently by different groups. For example, during the Soviet period, it was officially remembered as an atrocity against the Soviet people, with not a lot of mention of the Jewish victims or the Soviet collaboration in the murder. All these things to read are posted on the forum. This week's dive bar number is 25, the number of visitors from Andorra who came to Georgia during the month of July. That's up from 6 who came in July 2015, according to statistics from the National Tourism Administration. Andorra is a microstate between France and Spain that has a population of only 85,000, and its official language is Catalan. Unfortunately, the influx was partly offset by a decrease in visitors from Liechtenstein. Only 2 Liechtensteiners came to Georgia in July 2016. Fadi Asli, well-known businessman, has been around forever, been active in the Caucasus for a very long time, over 20 years, recently wrote a book called Life with Scorpions. He tells about his business adventures in the Caucasus, Central Asia, and the Middle East. He's presenting the book at Prosperos on the 20th of October. For Friends of Georgia in the UK, the British Georgian Society is hosting the Mayhew International Charity Evening at the Berg House in Hampstead. On the 2nd of October, the charity event is to raise money for the Mayhew Animal Home, which promotes animal welfare around the world, including Georgia. Tickets are £15. You can contact the British Georgian Society for more information. There will also be a lecture about Georgian literature at the Bodleian Library in Oxford on the 19th of October. Dr. Nikolaos Alexidze from Oxford will be lecturing about The Knight in the Panther Skin, both in its original and modern adaptations. A group of Tbilisi residents started a Toastmasters Club earlier this year. They have meetings every other Wednesday at the Hangar Bar near Baratashvili. It's an English-language public speaking club that's lots of fun. Any listeners interested in checking it out, contact Tyler Green at tyler.green, at bfconsulting.com. That's bravofoxtrotconsulting.com. U.S. citizens are encouraged to vote in the presidential elections on the 8th of November. Those living in Georgia can easily register and mail a completed ballot. Check out vote.org for more information. Encourage your friends or relatives living outside the U.S. to vote, especially those from Florida, Pennsylvania, Ohio, or North Carolina. You can find all the necessary information at the website of the U.S. Embassy of Georgia. If you are not sure if you're registered, check if you're registered. If you need to register, do it fast. And don't forget to request your ballot. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Our email is tepeelpod@gmail.com or post to the forum on our website, www.tepeelpod.com. And we will finish with, from 1992, right across the bay in Oakland, California, this is En Vogue with My Lovin'.
for a breakdown.
Never gonna get it, never gonna get it. Never gonna get it, never gonna get it. Never gonna get it, never gonna get it. Never gonna get it.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Never.